Before we open God's Word together today, let me say a word about financial giving. First, obviously, this is a tremendously difficult season for our entire country and for us as a church community. But this is a season, and we will get through this season. Regarding giving and faithful giving, Philippians 4:17 says, "Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is the profit that is credited to your account." That's what Paul said to the Philippian church. Because here's God's promise, just a couple of verses down, as we faithfully give. It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So however long this season lasts that we're in, I do believe that we have the opportunity to come through this time stronger as a church family for having been through it, and that somewhere we have expanded opportunities to share the love of Jesus, both with those in need among us and to those around us as well. So I encourage you to continue faithful. You can still, of course, mail in checks, but this may be the time that, let me suggest, you want to automate your giving and go online. Again, you can see the info on your screen of how to do that. We're continuing to step up our online presence. I'm sending you daily devotionals. I'm doing a weekly Wednesday night Bible study. Please fill out connection cards, prayer requests to let us know how we can be there for you and serve you. That's what we want to be for a church, for each other as a church family. But thank you. Let me just say thank you again for your incredible generosity, being such a generous church. So if you'd like to take your outline, which really is in the Southlake app, why don't you go ahead and do that? We're continuing our series today, Truish. We have been looking at certain Christian truths, or in some cases, Christian cliches that can absolutely mess up your life. Beliefs like Christians shouldn't judge, or everything happens for a reason, or the idea just believe, that will always get you through. So what we've been saying is that these are Truish statements. They have a ring of truth to them, but they're not completely true, so that they're dangerous. They can mess up your life. And so the truest statement for today is, God will never give me more than I can handle. That's very true-ish. Anybody said it besides me? I think this truest belief comes from an incomplete understanding of a very well-known verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now, I want to look with you at 1 Corinthians 10, 11 to 13, but on your outline, the truish belief is, God will never give me more than I can handle. The true belief, however, is this: God will always provide the way of escape. And that's what he does. That's his promise. So let's read it. "Now these things happened to them as an example," talking about the Israelites of the Old Testament, "and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it." Now, the word escape here in this text, because everything hinges on this way of escape, because that's the promise that God, he doesn't promise to not give us more than we can handle. He does promise the way of escape. And so the word escape literally means the act of breaking free from confinement or control. That's on your outline. The act of breaking free from confinement. Anybody feeling that these days? Confinement or control. So let's look at the way of escape, four different truths. I want to move through this with you today. Fairly briefly, but the first one is this: recognize the attributes of our age. Recognize the attributes of our age. Did you notice the verse there, verse 11, "upon whom the ends of the ages have come"? It's talking about us. "Upon whom," the NIV says, "upon whom the culmination of the ages has come." The God's Word translation, I like how it puts it, "we who are living in the closing days of history." So the first thing to understand about the way of escape is we need to understand the times in which we live. We need to understand the attributes in which we live. Pam and I have said sometimes, you know, with just everything that seems to be coming down and breaking loose, these days. It's like, when are the locusts showing up, you know? It's like, are there going to be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars? And of course, we already have those, all of those things. But it's the age that we live in that we didn't understand. So as believers, especially in Christ, that we're not surprised or shocked by this. But we are living in a time, listen to how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. And so we're living in a time, listen, we're living in the end of the ages. That the Israelites were, they started it, but we are the ones that are privileged to end it. History as we know it. And we are living in a time where there are birth pangs. I don't know if you've ever been part of a birth happening. Some of you, obviously, women know exactly what I'm talking about. For us, some of us husbands, how amazing. What the most amazing thing I've ever experienced was witnessing my wife give birth to our son. But I mean, the pain that's in that, the life that's coming forth, and the newness of life, and that first breath, and all of it is like, that's an amazing thing. And it's such a picture to me. Such an incredible picture of me of these times we live on. How can we be surprised? We are privileged, my friends. We are privileged beyond what any earthly birthing could be. We are privileged to live in a time where we actually are helping to give birth to the very coming of the kingdom of the King Jesus Christ. That's a powerful thing to keep in mind. Hopefully the locusts won't come. And hopefully this coronavirus thing will be over very soon. And it may be, who knows? But we do know, the bigger picture is, God is up to something. God is like doing an x-ray of people's hearts. And he's revealing how fearful, I think, and frightened people really can be, and how dependent all of us really are. And so it's an opportunity for the church to understand the times and really what we're to be about. Look at the second thing, is to replace self-confidence with God confidence. Replace self-confidence with God confidence. You see this in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. I love how the Message version puts this. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. When I see this phrase here, don't be so naive and self-confident, I have to confess I think of two things. First, I think of spring break and college age, some of the college age kids we've been seeing in Florida these last couple of weeks and some of the interviews. You think about that. But it's been interesting to me as I think about it, because at first, you know, there's part of me that's like, you know, kind of incensed that people are responding like that. And then that leads me to the second thing. I think of spring breakers presently. That's the first thing I think of when I read that. Second thing is me. I think of me. Because I love this phrase. We are just as capable. And we are, of messing it up as they are. And so, it's something, you know, it's easy for us to look at other people and be critical. And it's easy for us to lecture and think, well, we would never do that. When, in fact, you know, we did. Sometimes still do things that are very naive and foolish. But the point is that we need a humility about us in the times that we live. And we need to not be pointing the fingers at one another. We need to not be criticizing, complaining about other people. And we need to understand God's grace, that even in the midst of this present pressure and trial of life, that there's a grace of God and a mercy of God that's always attended and always being revealed. And so for us to be in touch with that. Forget about self-confidence, it's useless. How many of us are learning that in a new way? How many people today are learning self-confidence in my job, self-confidence regarding my 401k, self-confidence regarding my health, for me, for my family? It's all of us have to choose between self-confidence and God confidence. So which will it be for you in these times that we live? I want to encourage you to make a choice to be confident in the God who loves you And regardless of the uncertainty of the time, the pressures of the time, whatever you're facing, to understand that as you express a humility of dependency, and that's really what humility is. It's a recognition of just how dependent we are, and that that is not a weak thing, but that is an incredibly strong thing. And by the way, I think I love the verse in Isaiah that says, in quietness and confidence shall thy strength be. I can't think of the verse, the exact reference right now, but if you look it up, you'll find it. In quietness and confidence shall thy strength be. I'm not so sure that you can be God confident if you're not willing to be quiet at times in your life. And I think that there's a stillness, there's a quietness, there's an aloneness where we get alone with God, where it really sponsors the confidence. The confident people that are truly God confident, not self-confident, that I've known that have been, there's been something powerful about their spirit, are people always who have been spending time in the presence of Jesus. So I want to encourage you in that. The third thing is to remember that God will always be faithful. Let me say that one again. I love to say that one. God will always be faithful. God is faithful, the American Standard. God can be trusted is the way the contemporary English version puts it. Look at how the Message puts it again. All you need to remember, this is great. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Could we say that together? Wherever you are, whatever living room you're in, let's say that together. God will never let you down. Now let's personalize it and say me. God will never let me down. God will never let me down. Let's see, sometimes you were off when you got started there. I got you off. Let's say it again. 1, 2, 3. God will never let me down. Mother Teresa once was complaining to God, or so she said. I really wonder how much complaining Mother Teresa ever did. But she said she was just complaining about all of the suffering and her own suffering and all that she had to put up with and, you know, living and ministering on the streets of India. And she asked the Lord, she said, Lord, what's with this? Why am I going through this? And she felt like she heard the Lord say in her spirit, said, this is how I treat all of my children. It's not how we would treat our children by going through things like coronavirus. God didn't author that. But he did allow it, didn't he? And he is up to something, isn't he? But when he allows things that are difficult for us, temptations, trials, tests, whatever it is that we're facing, it seems sometimes like he's giving us more than we can handle. And sometimes, in fact, perhaps we are being allowed to move into areas that are beyond ourselves. It's very true. See, the problem with God never gives me more than I can handle thing is what happens when you get to a position where it is, you are over your head, then it's all about how you're, you know, that you're the failure. You're blown. You don't have enough faith, and on and on and on. But when you come to those points in your life where you understand that you're dependent upon him, you've made a decision, but I'm serving him, I'm going to be his child no matter what that means, no matter what I face, then you understand that this word escape in verse 13 is really an important word, because my privilege and my responsibility is to escape him. He's the one that will be faithful. He's the one that I can be God confident, not self-confident, because at the end of the day, he always comes through. And he always does. He'll never let you down. God will never let you down. And this word is just interesting to me in studying the Greek in this week, that verse 13, and it's a word, this word escape here that I mentioned is a Greek word that is used only twice in the New Testament. He'll make the way of escape. And it's a word that's used in other places of real negative things, like how will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How will you escape judgment? It's used in another place in the New Testament. That's not the word. It's not the word that's used here for escape. The only other time this word is used for escape in the New Testament is talking about the way that you would escape to follow somebody that's worthy to be followed. And what the word literally means is, it's whereas that other word, the fearful word, like the word of, man, get me out of here, escape, is like run for your life. That's really what it means. But this word that's used here, it means literally to walk, to escape by walking. Isn't that interesting? See, there's two ways you can approach the pressures and the stress of life. You can sort of a random thing out of fear that you're just, get me out of here. It's kind of, something's happening. I don't know what to do. And I'm just, I don't want to be here. This isn't safe here. And it's, you just randomly, you run. And that's not the way of escape for the follower of Jesus. See, the way of escape for the follower of Jesus is to walk, because it really puts the emphasis not on the experience of whatever random thing you're facing, but on the walk, upon this is the door, this is the direction for your life right now, at this time. And so you walk, and really what it's saying is you walk with the way. The way of escape is to walk with the way, because that's exactly who Jesus is. So let's understand that. I think you'll be helped, as will I, if we understand that, you know, God's not nervous about what's going on. He's using it. The church of Jesus, is, including South Lake Church, is going to come out stronger than ever. And there's going to be greater opportunities. There's going to be character. And that really brings us to the fourth thing, is to remember, finally, recognize where the way is leading. Because in verse 13, it says, well, before I read it, let me say the fill-in here in your outline. The way of escape leads not to escapism, but it leads to endurance. The way of escape is not escapism. It's the way that leads to endurance, because that's what God's up to in your life and mine. It's always what he's doing, is to make us more like Jesus. But in the New American Standard, it says God will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. The Amplified, which I love, says so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Can we be joyful in the midst of the pressures of our time? Absolutely. We can if we take the way of escape. And look at James 1, great verse. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Again, there's this thing about joy. We are called to joy in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, see, that's where it's leading. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. In other words, don't short circuit it. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, see, God has a planned maturity for you and me. Something he's doing with us. Something, it's the making of a man and a woman of God. And that's what he's doing. He is making you into something that reflects Jesus, that only you can be that reflection of him. He's using the present challenges in your life to create the endurance. When it's fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, perfect in terms of fulfilling his calling. And you'll need nothing. You'll be needing nothing. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. How many times have you heard that? I'm not the only one that said that, only pastor or leader, you know, and I'm well aware as I say that. In fact, I intentionally said that because to me, at least at times, and perhaps to you today, sounds like it can be a little cliche-ish. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. Easy to say in easy times. Harder to swallow, perhaps in harder times. When you're going through it, it can sound like a real cliche, but I can't back off from it, because it's exactly what God's doing in your life and mine. Is the way of escape is not escapism. The way of escape is an endurance that will make you, in fact, it's the only way to make you and to make me more like Jesus himself. He's preparing you for more in this life. Let me say it again. He is right now preparing you for more in this life. And he's preparing you for the life to come. Listen, when all is said and done, no matter what we go through here, we are being prepared for eternity, because that's really ultimately what it's about. A friend in college asked me one time, I'd just become a Christian. I think I was sharing Jesus with her, I'm sure very non-effectively, because, and she was quite intelligent, and I must have said a cliche like, Jesus is the answer. Have you heard that one before too? Jesus is the answer. Now, that's not a true-ish statement. That's absolutely the truth. But it can sound very cliche. And it did apparently to her as I said it, because she shot back with the response that many people have over time. Said, well, what's the question? Jesus is the answer. What's the question? And I remember on the spot, I didn't really have anything to say to that as a new believer, just trying to be faithful to share with her and my faith in Jesus. But over the years, that experience has come back to me many times. And I've realized that what's the answer? I mean, rather, what's the question? Is like, there are a whole lot of questions. There are a whole lot of questions as you go through this life. That Jesus is the answer. What's the question? The question is, what are you going to do? The question is, how are you going to live? The question is, what kind of future is there for you living in this fallen world, this broken world that we so obviously live in? If so many people build their hopes and dreams on this world, what in the world are you going to live for? And not only in this world, but in beyond this world, beyond this life. A lot of great questions. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the same, you know, years ago when I was young college student myself sharing my faith sort of, you know, the best I could. And I said it and I meant it. I don't know if she heard it. I trust God continued perhaps over her lifetime has maybe used it. He has a way of doing that. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the last verse there on your outline. And the only way, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. Jesus is the answer, folks. He's the answer for our time. He's the answer for your life and mine. And so what do? We turn to him. Because while you may find yourself in places in your life where you're experiencing more than you can seemingly handle, I think a lot of people feel like that today. Listen, the way of escape is available, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we bow together now, we just thank you that we have this time that we can continue to gather. Lord, we want to thank you that we live in this time of technology where, Lord, we can actually meet together even though we're not in the same room together. But Lord, we are united in your spirit. And we sense that today as we've worshiped you and as we've opened your word, as we've prayed. And now, Lord, as we close today, we just want to say thank you. Help us to be faithful in following you in all the things you've gifted us and called us to do. But Lord, thank you that you are faithful to us, that you are faithful to us, and that you are the way of escape from this, from everything in this world that is not escapism. Lord, it's a walk. It's a walk with the way. It's a walk with Jesus. Help us, Lord, this day and this week to focus our life on you. And thank you for going before us and for leading us on. We trust you, Lord, and we pray for your life. Encircle us, Lord, I pray this prayer every week. Circle each one of us at South Lake Church in your love as a church family, as a spiritual body. Let nothing penetrate that circle of your love but what you allow for our good and for your glory. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.